So while people were talking about the like alien stuff, I was like, wait, so here's the thing about the pyramids. Did you know that like if you measure each one of them on each side, they're like off by like a centimeter? No,
it's crazy. The pyramids are just like,
If you throw human suffering at something for decades, you can really do some.
Still, man, it's crazy, those pyramids. But I'm of the aliens are real. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
I laughed. My cousin was put up a little thing. He put up a pyramid today on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it. And I commented to him, and he was like, there's like these different levels. And he was like, these are the crazy levels. And I'm like, so I'm definitely blue. And he just started laughing. I'm like, well, it says the aliens. I'm like, aliens are real. Like, if we think we're the only people in this world,
yeah,
you got another thing coming. Look at us. Look at us. Who thought we would get here? Look at us. We got to aliens. We got to talking about some fun stuff. I'll talk about conspiracy theories all day long.
All right, welcome to episode 18 of season 3 of Brews and Bruins, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehard, sponsored by DraftKings. A hard listen, according to Drew's dad. Drew is not here. It's me, it's Cam, and we have our good friend Court Lalonde from Three Dads in a Console podcast. How are you doing, Court?
I'm good, buddies. How are you doing? Jesus, well. It feels weird to say not from Bruins Diehards.
I know it's been too long since we've had you on, Court. I feel like we're always chatting on Twitter and stuff, and I was just like, oh shit, we've had Court on way too long.
Drew had me on me and Z were on or I guess I could just call him Colin now.
I think we exposed him, so
yeah. Colin got doxxed by our podcast.
Oh, that's not fair to him.
To be fair, nobody listens to our podcast, so it wasn't really us, but
he also does like video content with the Soda Pod.
He's got his whole network, he's a wild fan now. I still love him though. It's okay. I don't hold it against him. But yeah, we came on with Drew and got drunk for no reason.
Yeah, that was I one of the few episodes I listened to, and Drew got so high that you took over hosting for him.
It was funny because after the episode was over, Drew's off, and me and Colin were like, Colin was like, so you want to continue the conversation? Because we were like, we hadn't chatted in a while. I'm like, yeah. So we went onto the Skype and just started chatting. And I joked about it. I was like, well, I had to just take over. I just saw it in Drew's face. I was like, all right, you're done. All right, let's get this going. I'm gonna tap in. I'm like, I got the experience. I'll tap in.
Court's like the concussion protocol, but it's just like the Drew's too high protocol. It's like, hey, pull him out of the game. He's seen enough tonight. It's gonna be something else.
Yeah, he was having a good time. You know, he just looked at it and he was just having a good chat, and he was just like, he wanted to get into the groove. I was in the scotch, and Colm was into the beer, and Drew was like, well, I guess I got to get in on this.
Fitting stuff.
Drew's in Indiana still, so we're going on without him. Do we have any drinks we want to introduce?
I got something. So last episode I did a winter specific beer, the Ice Storm of 98 IPA from Baxter Brewing here in Portland. Figured I'd go two seasons further here and or throwback. I got a Harpoon Camp Wanamango, which is their summer beer. I had turned it around and I laughed because the first thing it says is summertime is here in New England, which it certainly is not. But yeah, I figured I'd mix it up a little bit here, go with something a little bit sweeter tonight. It says, with a splash of Simcoe and Sultana hops and a refreshing touch of mango puree, this crisp ale pairs with all summer has to offer, from Chatham to Lake Champlain. Shout out, Chris.
Hey.
And everywhere in between. Apparently, I should have had this then because it was summertime and we were at Lake Champlain. But nonetheless, here it is. Crisp and tropical. It says 5%. Pretty much what you'd expect out of this. Like a kind of a classic pale ale, but that mango puree definitely kicks in with a lot of sweetness. Still pretty crispy though. Drinkability, you could throw these things down and give it a solid 35 out of 37. And taste, 29. Also a pretty good beer in general. Definitely probably not one you should be drinking in November when you went skiing today like I did, but maybe if you were water skiing, it would have been a better beer to have, but good stuff.
I remember when it was just like, are you going to have a light or not a light beer? Yeah. That was like the longest description of a beer I've ever heard. So good you, Cam.
Tune into the episode that I guess drops tomorrow as of this recording. We did 15 minutes of beer introduction.
Yeah. That's something.
I could do that. Then again, I could probably do that with scotch. I could have like the cork popping, just the noise itself. And then
beautiful,
you know, the smell. But
I would like to do that more often on the pod, but we're off the rails as it is. And if I started dipping into scotch for this, it could get ugly.
Yeah, it gets real ugly real quick. I did. On your podcast.
Yeah.
By the end of it. Yeah. By the end of it, it was no filter.
Yeah.
I think I insulted everybody in Bruins Twitter. I probably lost about like 10 followers, all 10 of your listeners.
Oh, that was a big week for us.
Pretty generous.
Oh, come on, guys. You guys do awesome. Come on now.
I mean, I almost dipped into some whiskey tonight because I figured, you know, in honor of, I know you're a scotch guy, but I don't really have any scotch. But
that's okay. I'm a nothing tonight. I'm on medication. So I'm on a pretty good high right now. Hey.
37 out of 37. So I did dip into the hard alcohol though. I just had one of those days at work where I needed a little kick of caffeine in the afternoon, so I went and got a soda
pop.
A 20 ounce Coca-Cola is too much for me. Yeah. That's sweet.
That's a lot of peeing, right, Chris? Yeah. At your age?
Yeah. I'm a very old man. I finished like half of it and then I got home and was kind of trying to figure out what to drink for this episode. And I realized I hadn't had a rum and Coke for a really long time. So,
ooh,
the
sweetness.
Yeah. So, we have some Captain Morgan's 1671 blend, which is a terrible rum for doing like shots or drinking straight.
Yeah, it'd be really gross.
It's really like sharp with the alcohol. Like you can, it really burns going down. It's pretty viscous too, so it doesn't go down smooth.
So it's like a scotch.
Yeah. So kind of save that pretty exclusively for mixing, but it's great for mixing because it has a really strong like vanilla flavor. Ooh. and other spices that are a little forward there.
Put a cherry in that and you can have like a cherry Coke.
Yeah. Theoretically, yeah. I should have thought of that, but I will say it's really good. You're gonna go 37 out of 37 on tasteability.
Oh, that clink. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. The ice kind of gave it a little atmosphere there. That gave
that sound, as we call it in the biz.
Probably tell when you're taking a sip there. Like he could feel the ice going up the nostrils and everything. It was just, it was good. Was good.
Yeah.
And yeah, drinkability, solid 20.
We got a little clash of worlds going on here because I had a similarly different day, Chris. I also needed a caffeine kick from skiing, not from work today.
It sounds like you have a tough life, Cam.
I just finished a 6-day work week, which included a 19-hour shift. So that was a tough week. Today I got to play a little bit. Yeah. But I grabbed some vanilla Coke on the way home. And I was thinking about grabbing same thing. I was like, I drank about half of it and I was like, all right, I need to chill on this for a little bit. But I was thinking about doing a little Jack and Coke for some Halo after this, but we'll get to there in a little bit.
Do you guys ever thought about like just going to straight to the vodka soda and then graduating to scotch and bourbon and just been like, I don't even need mix. Whoa.
Well, yeah, I did almost
thought of it.
I have a Whistle Pig 12 that I was thinking about dipping into for tonight, but it was just the half a Coke.
Yeah, really. Chris, you're so close. You're like 2 years away from mix doesn't even exist anymore.
I did do straight bourbon for a while and then kind of went back to beer. I haven't been drinking as much as I had been in the past in general. So I pretty much just save like a couple beers for this.
And why is that, Chris? And why is that?
Well, I mean, the pandemic has affected everybody differently. I will say I spent a large portion of the pandemic really testing out a lot of different beers. We'll just say that. Figured I needed to come.
The whole point of this podcast, yeah.
Testing out. That's what we call them nowadays. It's like, oh.
Well, and speaking of the pandemic, Court was here for the start of it all with us. I remember our first pandemic episode was Coronas and something, Coronas and Corona with Court Lalonde.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And I remember recording that because I was in college still at the time, and I was at my my buddy's apartment in his bedroom while everybody was out getting hammered in the other room. And they kept being too loud and kept picking up the mic. But that was, yeah, I remember. Oh my God, it feels like so long ago. I mean, it was a while ago now.
Yeah, it does about, feel like a long time ago.
It feels like hockey's actually going to stop or something. This is pretty crazy, huh, guys? And here we fucking are in November of 2021.
I just went to the Bruins Leaf game. It was because I recorded the day after. And I was like, it might be shutting down.
So you were on that episode replacing me because I was in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the only episode I've ever been on with you on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You've been on a few, and I have been on none of them.
Hold on. I was on. I was your very first guest, weren't you on that? No, I was your second guest. Sorry, Brandon was your first guest. Think you might have been. Maybe on I don't know. I've been. Don't even know anymore. It's usually Drew.
I think that might have been the pandemic episode. That was that episode.
Yeah, it's been.
Yeah, it was really early because we started this like as the pandemic started.
Yeah,
because probably a coincidence.
I was in New Orleans, and that night they broke up Bourbon Street. Like the cops came and broke everything up, and that was like the day after the NBA stopped everything, and it was the day that Tom Hanks got COVID, and everyone was like, "Oh shit, this is real."
Yeah,
that's the funniest part when you think about the pandemic. It's like, NBA stops. I'd be like, "Hey, hold on a second. Did you not hear that Tom Hanks got it? It's over. It's over, everybody." I was watching the morning show with my wife on Apple Television, and I the amount of TV shows that go back to that, and then their pinnacle of when the world stops is Tom Hanks getting COVID is just hilarious.
It's a easy marking point, I guess, but yeah.
Not the NBA shutting down.
No.
Tom Hanks out all the way out in Australia shut down the world.
Well, do we want to jump in and talk about some hockey? I mean,
Hockey? All of a sudden, Chris becomes a Canadian?
A little bit of puck.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, so I did listen to the episode that you did with Colin and Drew, and I didn't agree with everything you said, but I liked a lot of the things you said.
That's okay. I don't even agree with half of things I say.
But I think now would be a good time to just kind of like hand you the rock and see if, have any opinions changed based on what you've seen so far this year? Because I think the last episode you were on was either like one or two games into the season, and it was kind
of
let's see
what happens. Preview.
Have your opinions changed on one, the team as a whole, and two, like any specific players or what you think the team needs in comparison to what you said on that last episode?
David Krejci and Tuukka Rask. I think it's blatantly obvious that the two has-beens or not needed players that can be replaced easily are solely needed. Like I love Charlie Coyle and I don't know. Maybe you guys can disagree or agree, but Taylor Hall looks not the same Taylor Hall that he did with David Krejci that he does with Charlie Coyle. And Forbert is, he's a good defenseman.
Derek Scoreboard.
He is just not the guy that should be crunching minutes alongside Charlie.
Yeah.
No, that's all. He'd be the perfect third pair. Maybe Zvorl can go up in there. Lozon at least could handle his own. He's not going to give you anything else besides just being on the ice, but he didn't cost you as much when he was there. Mm-hmm. It's not that Forbert's costing. It's just, I don't know, man. That defense scares the living daylights out of me with no Tuukka back there. We now know by looking at the goaltending, like Sway is awesome. I still look at the team right now and I say Tuukka Rask is in net and add on three more wins to that total that they have. And the team's not where they are right now, just with Tuukka Rask in the net. Like that's, it looks like he'll be back Whatever Elliot Friedman said, I don't care what he said. Tuukka Rask will be a Boston Bruin this year around December. But good one, Elliot, for trying to like muddy the water. That was the funniest thing I've heard on Toronto radio in a really long time. I'm like, wow, yeah, Edmonton Oilers, that's where he's going. Okay. Or the Boston Bruins don't want him back. He just happens to be practicing with the team and with the training staff and with the goalie coach and being treated by their medical staff. But yeah, he's not coming back. Think Boston doesn't know. The top line has played great. They really have. Charlie McAvoy had that really one bad game. And I don't know, man. Smith's got to come back and be that. You know, he looks sexy and all, but he doesn't look that sexy on the ice. And I know he's been hurt a bit.
I'm interested to see if that was just an injury thing, because I think Craig Smith looked pretty good in the game after he came back.
Agreed. But no one looked good against Calgary.
No, yeah. Specifically excluded that game.
It's still there, though. The team looks terrible in front of Allmark.
Yeah.
Every time. I was at that Leaf game. Oh man, that was hard to be in that arena, being a Bruins fan. I don't know what it is, because I think Allmark is a decent goaltender. This sounds crazy. If Tuukka was back, I would make Sway your backup and Allmark wouldn't even play.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at right now. And if I'm Butch, and I know it's tough with the schedule to be in the way it is. The stupidest thing I've ever seen, you know, playing once a week. I would think if they were playing more on a regular pace, we would have a different team. From what we see right now, I'd say give them one more win, because this team is a veteran team and they need to play. The problem is they're not playing. So it's tough as a hockey player to not play. You can practice all you want, but it's not the same. It's just like, we remember in the playoffs when they had that big space in between the Columbus series and then the finals, they like lost a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So like any momentum that they gain and then they're off for another week and then they play and then they play the back-to-back, like, yeah, they play the back-to-back. They look good in the first game, but they look yikes in the second game. Let's be honest. And I feel so bad for them. I wish they could get on a schedule where they're playing more. It might work out for them, because they are waiting for a certain individual to come back and play nets. I still think that, you know, there's rumors out there that Brock Besser is available in Vancouver.
I just saw people tweet about that. I hadn't heard anything about that.
He's been available for years. Yeah. He was, I'll tell you this right now. He was almost a Bruin that night. I was in right at the pandemic there. He was really close to being a Bruin. He got injured though, so I don't know. The rumors I was hearing, he was very, very close that night to being a Boston Bruin.
He's a UFA after the season, right?
Bruins need a right winger, and I mean, he's a good looking dude, so he would shore up the like good lookingness on the right wing.
You know, think about it. If you had, it would solve that problem. Like Coyle he's decent, like he's scoring and all, but it's hard for him to lead a line. And so they're asking Taylor Hall to lead the line. When before, you used to have David Krejci be the entrance guy, and he would bring the puck over the line more so than Taylor Hall does. And he would control the play and sort of be the quarterback on that line, right? Coyle is very good puck possession, but he's having a hard time controlling the play on that line. He's scoring goals, but he's counting on Taylor Hall to drive it, and which is catching Taylor Hall out of position. It's getting pucks coughed up. It's pissing the coach off. Let's put it that way. It's tough to watch. And I think Coyle, Krejci ain't coming back. That is definitely an opinion I have. Krejci will not be a Bruin this year. I just don't see how it's happening. But if they could get a Besser, maybe that strengthened that line. And then your third line is Foligno, DeBrusque, and Smith. Put one of them at center. Foligno, he's played center before.
That's a pretty serviceable. You got to figure out the center option there, but you know,
I still can't wrap my brain around if Krejci came back. Think about the lines if Krejci was back.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
The fence would still be embarrassing, but Jesus Christ.
They'd be scoring 30 goals a game or something. You know, they'd have secondary and tertiary scoring at that point.
Tertiary. I don't know. They need a defenseman bad. A name that I've seen out there on, well, heard on the radio here in Toronto is a name that could be available as a guy like Ben Sherratt out in Montreal. He's an expiring deal. Montreal's trash fire. They're not getting any better. It's not like he's going to be back. So that's a guy that they could slot in there. But they need someone on that left side. They can eat minutes. And if they have to give up a guy like Jake DeBrusk, do it. Don't even think twice. Yeah. Mind you, if you're going to get Brock Besser, obviously DeBrusk's going the other way. So,
yeah.
Have you had any, do you have any thoughts on Jakub Zboril? As I mean, you mentioned like
he's played very well. He's probably been the best defenseman in that very ugly game. The last two games, he's played very well. Mm-hmm. He's played very well to be not even have to be like, he could be a second pair defenseman, but you've already got, you've got your Carlo and your Grizz. So I don't know, maybe I don't know. Throw Grizz up there on that first pair.
Please.
Throw Zboril with Carlo and just make him a shutdown. Man, it would be so awesome if Lozon was still here. It sounds so stupid. You could throw Lozon with, because of his experience, throw him on the third pair, throw Zboril up on that second pair and just have a shutdown pair and then another shutdown pair and just let the two awesome defensemen have fun with it up on the top pair. But I don't know. That defense scares the living daylights out of me. It's so bad.
Yeah,
it's so it's that's the biggest issue. That's why I'm saying if Tuukka was in net, they'd be better, because that defense is their weakest point is that defense. It's scared. Let's be honest, we're all watching the TV. We're all scared as daylights. As soon as that puck gets by the forward group, we're like, gee, you know, what's gonna happen? Yay! I don't know, man.
Mike Riley being out. Any thoughts on that? I know Chris probably. We haven't really talked about this much recently, but
Chris loves Mike Riley.
I like Mike Riley a whole lot. It's most, but just based on how ready people were to move on from him in the offseason, I don't think there were many better available free agent defensemen. So it was very weird to me that people were like looking around for somebody other than Mike Riley when he was right there. And no one seemed particularly excited about that contract, which I think is a pretty good deal.
I agree.
And I mean, he's made a couple of glaring mistakes so far in the early going.
They all have.
And it just stands out more because you look at a guy that plays like him to be like a good offensive player. And he's really more of a defensively oriented and possession guy.
He's a third pair.
Yeah, and I think he works fine on the second pair, but I'm not a huge Brandon Carlo guy, so I'm not sure if that's a chemistry mismatch there. But yeah, if he's your third pairing left defenseman, then I think that's.
Let me ask you this, Chris: if you could get a centerman, but it would cost you Carlo.
Oh, absolutely! I'd do that in a second. I think Brandon Carlo is a solid defensive defenseman, but doesn't do much other than that. And I think often tries to do more than that and doesn't really succeed at it. And I think a player like him is one of the most overvalued types of players in the NHL, which means you could get better return on him.
Yeah. You get benched. Like I said, you could technically, if you could move Carlo and somehow get Ben Sherratt out of Montreal and not have to overpay to get him. Because Ben Sherratt the last 2 years in the playoffs has looked like a rock star, right? You know, I don't know. I look at playoff performance, and that's all that matters. But right now, Boston Bruins don't make the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter at this point.
They got 85 games in hand. So.
No, yeah. I know, but they don't look good, man. They don't look like a team that's going to make the playoffs right now. They don't.
Yeah, I am.
I'm not saying the season's over.
No, of course not.
Anything could happen. Like I said, Tuukka Rask could come in and they could go on an 11-game winning streak very easily. And they've done this before where they're a team that December is usually their month, right? So let's see what happens.
Yeah. I'm not as
schedule picks up a little bit.
I'm not as down on them in that sense as you are. I do think they still have a pretty decent chance to make the playoffs.
It's the tough far division, as one, though. Such a tough division. But the Islanders suck poop, so that's good, yeah.
As far as when they, if they eventually make it to the playoffs, I don't really have any confidence at that point. You're looking at first or second round exit.
Yeah, because you're looking at right now, if they do make it, they're not. Florida Panthers are a wagon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see anybody stopping them right now. They're my cup contender. They're my team to win it all. They just built. They look so. Think about it. They're going to add. That is the crazy part. Florida Panthers are going to add at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They got Bennett over the holidays, over the summer, and just stole them. Like,
how is it that there's
already? We could have had Sam Bennett. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. That would have been nice. I mean, he looked terrible for the Flames, but
doesn't matter.
He's immediately came in and clicked on that second line with Florida. And
a new sheriff in town in Florida
and
already.
Also, I really liked Anthony Duclair last offseason, and I really wanted the Bruins to make a pitch at him, and he signed a really reasonable deal with Florida. And
remember the taxes,
looked pretty good.
Remember,
maybe,
it was like a $1.6 million deal. I didn't give a shit about taxes.
I know. He's a good, you know what I never understood about him? He's got all the hands, all the speed, he scores everywhere he goes, but for some reason they just bounces around. And I'm just like, I don't get it. Maybe it's maybe there's more to it. I don't know.
Yeah. There's for sure more to it. I think he was, I got some background info that he was, like hanging out with Tony D'Angelo
so he would never, Boston wouldn't even look twice at him. That wouldn't have made a difference.
What was, yeah. I mean, and that's like young kid stuff. So I'm willing to.
Yeah. Yes. And no, it's just
brush that stuff aside. So
from my knowledge of the Boston Bruins organization, they've traded Tyler Seguin and Joe Thornton for less. So Seguin, he's a dirty
breakfast.
Yeah, he you know what? As much as people can whine and complain that he's gone, he deserved to go. And Joe Thornton punched an off-duty cop, so that's why he's gone. So he got traded for nothing because he got drunk in London, Ontario, over the summer one time. So Boston Bruins, that's just what they do. Like they've been like that since my dad played for them. They don't mess around. You it's one strike there. The fact that Brad Marchand got more than one strike is pretty impressive.
Yeah,
like I don't think people realize how close he was to being traded that year that he got suspended right before the outdoor game.
Yeah.
Like Brad Marchand was almost gone. It was very close.
Probably speaks to how good of a player he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also speaks to how good of a person he is and was able to, he has turned himself into one of the best players in the league since that. It was almost like the turning point in his career. That incident against Ottawa Senators. I was there. I watched it. My dad was so mad. We were in the box against the alumni, and that whole box was just like that. Like every single former player in that box was mad at him. Oh my God.
Remember how like every year we'd have that conversation where it was like, oh, he's been clean for however many months or whatever for a season. And oh, he's such a good player. And if he can just develop that a little more and just get that bullshit out of his game. It was like, I remember like fucking writing a Hockey Writers article about it every like 3 months. It was just like, he can finally fucking do it. This guy can be so fucking good. And he just needs to clean the shit out of his game. And it felt like it was just never going to happen. Cause it was just, it's just go back to fucking square one every couple months. But
I don't even think he counts as a repeat offender anymore.
No. I don't think so.
No, it's been 5 years. Clean. That game, so because it's easy for me to figure out that my wife was pregnant at the game. So my daughter's born. My daughter's 5 now as of the other day. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. As of Sunday. So that is, he's 5 years. That's 5 years since he's been last suspended. So he's not even a repeat offender anymore. It's hilarious because living here in Toronto, everybody's like, oh, he's such a dirty player. I'm like, is he anymore?
Since when?
Yeah. He's got that reputation and people don't like him, obviously. But I think most people who regularly watch the Bruins, I think at this point, understand that that's long gone from his game.
It's hilarious. We think about it. They go from that one extreme to, I talk to any of my friends. I'm like, well, what's going to be the starting lineup for Canada? And they're like, well, you got McDavid and whoever you're going to put on a line with him. Rumors, it might even
McKinnon.
Be Zach Hyman. Well, no, the rumor might be McDavid, McKinnon, and Zach Hyman. He makes that team just based on leave Tavares or Marner at home and let Zach Hyman, because he plays so well with with Connor McDavid, but you already know your second line.
Bullshit. I think everybody plays well with McDavid.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they don't though. If you McDavid say that, McDavid's also got that thing where he's just better than it. Like McDavid is, for the Ottawa audio listeners, I'm holding my hands up really high. Yeah. McDavid is like here, and like everybody else is underneath my chin, and my hand is way high above my head. Even though Dreisaitl's got more points and all that, McDavid is just still a better hockey player.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But it's almost like Sidney Crosby, where you, when you have a player that's that much smarter and that much better than everybody else, sometimes you just, there's guys that gel with them. Like Chris Kunitz made a career off playing with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah,
Jake Guentzel right now.
Exactly. And
Ryan Rust.
You already know Team Canada's second line is Bergeron on the left. I mean, yeah. No, Bergeron on the right, and then Marshy, and then you have Sidney Crosby in the middle. Like it's all over the radio all the time. You already have this one line, and it's so weird to hear Marchand in one light on Toronto radio, and then the next he's like, "Well, he's the guy. He's playing.
Yeah, he's a fucking line. Piece of shit.
That line's the best line going to be in the Olympics." It's like, okay, yeah. Hold on. How do you go from one extreme to the next?
Yeah. But
that is the intriguing thing. I'm actually pissed. I was hoping for Pittsburgh to have a poopy season.
I mean, that's the very embodiment though of the theory that you would love this guy if he was on your team.
Yeah,
he's not. So you hate
him. Very good point.
Yeah. I am so stoked, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, to have NHL players back in the Olympics. But oh my God, I'm terrified as an American because Team Canada looks as good as they ever have, in my opinion.
Well,
offensively, at least. I mean, they have some questions elsewhere, but my God,
goaltending is their biggest.
Roll that out.
Goaltending will be their biggest question.
Yeah, but they're going to score 45 goals a game with that fucking forward core. It's just like
my U.S. has goaltending and defense, though.
Yeah, it'll be. Yeah, it's a classic. You know,
Canada's got Cal Makar. Yeah, Cal Makar is one of the best defensemen in the league.
Yeah,
yes, you do have Fox and you have McAvoy. But they have Petrangelo and they have Makar. That's, you know, it's still, and they got Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon and Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron and Sidney Crosby. And I'm just like, I'm dual citizen. So I'll play both sides of the fence here. Canada looks really good.
Yeah. I mean, if Jack Eichel were healthy, it might be a little bit of a different story.
Sure.
When you got Matthews and Eichel as your top two centers, and that's.
But you're going to have guys on Team USA that are going to surprise people, right? Mm-hmm. The Colefields and all that, if they make the team. Like, you never know.
Dylan Larkin's back to playing pretty well, too, now that the team around him's looking good. And I think he's probably a solid second center on that U.S. team.
Yeah, but once again,
it's not,
whatever the U.S.'s second line is, they have to match against Sidney Crosby, Brad Marchand, and Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah,
and then the top line has to go against MacKinnon and Connor McDavid and whoever they feel like throwing on that other wing. Like, okay, and then you have a guy like Sean Couturier that could be like a number two or three on Team USA that might not even make Team Canada.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's a mess, mind you. I really hope that Tavares or Marner is not on that team. I'd rather Couturier.
Interesting to see how a few of them deal with playing against Trent Frederick in the Olympics, but
yeah,
that will be, you know.
Okay, you brought his name up. I he should be in Providence and he's not that good, and I'm sorry, he's a bust. He punches people in the face and he has skill and he can skate, and for some reason in the NHL it doesn't translate.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a bust, because I think that
he's a first round pick. He's a bust.
Oh no, I understand that he's the not
theory.
what the pick position should turn out to be, but he was drafted as a floor guy who this guy is going to be. Oh no, I'm not saying it's a good pick. Yeah, don't.
No, the way you describe it just makes me even more frustrated.
I'm very against taking.
He was drafted as a floor guy.
You should always take ceiling in the first round.
Take the best player available.
Yeah, and that's how you end up with the fourth line grinders. But I don't think he's a bust based on what they knew he was going to be when they took him.
I just don't think he'll be
a guy who's certainly going to be able to crack an NHL lineup at some point in his career, but probably never more than a third liner. And I think right now he is pretty definitively not going to be better than a fourth liner.
Yeah, I don't see him having a long career in the NHL, but he'll be a very good AHLer.
No.
And that's nothing to still better than me. Still better than all of us. Still better than everybody listening to this.
I don't know. I've never really tried playing hockey. Maybe I'd be better.
I just and the worst part is Anthony over at Bruins Network showed me all this great. I got hyped for this kid, and then in his first couple of games, he went out there and he had some piss and vinegar, and he looked great. And then I think maybe he was told to stop trying to punch everybody in the face. And maybe that's part of his game. Maybe can't be like Brad Marchand, who could figure out how to find the balance of not being a douche and just being the best player on the ice. Maybe Trent can figure it out. Maybe he just needs to, I don't know. Maybe just there's something there because he's a decent hockey player. He looks like he's got zero confidence when he's on the ice now. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to think
Blythe. I can't. Looks fantastic, so he ain't coming out of the lineup. So,
yeah, it's for me. It's hard to look at Trent Frederick and be like, point out a thing that he does well.
So. He did, like I said, he used to. Maybe like two games, but oh man, it's. I feel so bad. I hate dunking on players because
no, I like him.
I hate dunking on players because they're all better than us. It's just tough. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts.
Speaking of which, though, we do have
Honor Ryan
listener questions I want to get to, but in the purpose of keeping this one relatively short, we'll turn to those in just a second. But first, the Brews and Bruins podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. The NHL season is underway at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Have an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. It doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection or if Trent Frederick scores it with his head. I don't know. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available yet in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wage required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Code win100gambler. All right.
Woo!
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I've been working on that. It's getting cleaner.
That was impressive. You were like the Micro Machines commercial guy there. That was impressive.
I know. I'm trying to carve a career out of it, actually, so I appreciate that.
Wow. He even got the reference. Like, wow.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, I'm hoping to get in the industry.
That was very good.
I'm mostly kidding, but no, I've been working on it, you know, because I kept fucking up, and it's embarrassing when you have a guest on, you know, and to be fair, I mean, most of the people that we make sit through our ad reads are like good friend guests. So that's why we're making you sit through it. But, you know, you don't want to fuck it up still. Plus, it's extra editing and it's a huge thing. You know, it's just annoying. So
Drew's been getting pretty good at it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't you just like record it before and then add it in after?
Yeah. Or? It's just like that takes an extra minute and a half.
Fair enough. And that also involves editing. As someone who's done many a podcast over his lifetime, that sucks.
Yeah. It's just like editing. You just want to get in, get out. And it's just an extra clip. And part of the reason, too, is before I built my PC, it was just editing on a laptop. Like anytime you add a track on my laptop that's 6 years old, there was like a 20% chance it was crashing.
Too much porn, eh?
The less I could do that, the better. So.
I purposely did that because Chris was taking a sip. I went for it.
Yeah, you got me there. Chanel often brings up the Cam losing her recording one episode because he was watching quote heinous shit.
Chanel's a freaking rock star this year. Congrats to her.
I know, honestly. Well, she's always been a rock star, but she's finally getting the attention.
Sorry. She's like, yeah, exactly. She hit superstardom this year.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's dive into a couple of listener questions, and then I have my own question that I want to bring this full circle with to end it here before we let Cork go. A couple of these we kind of touched on before. Our good friend DF Pendris asked about the Calgary game. Did anyone do anything right? I know you, Cork, responded to that on Twitter beforehand, and we pretty much talked about that before.
Yeah,
nope. Big old resounding no there.
Actually, Jakub Zboril and Anton Blee played well.
Also, the Calgary Flames played pretty well. There was limited Bruins.
The Bruins played so bad. Like, yeah. It was... Mm, like, once again, this was another one of those when Charlie McAvoy were like, okay, he is human. That's bad.
It's a nice reminder for the rest of us, you know. He's not a cyborg or something. Good friend Lauren Campbell asked, in reference to tomorrow's game as of recording, which will be early this week's, will Anders Bjork have a hat trick against the Bruins? Again, we're recording this before. The answer is yes or yes. So what do you think, Court? Will he have a hat trick against the Bruins? Yes.
No.
Or yes?
No.
That wasn't one of the options.
I know. I don't care. I know she loves him. I get it. But that was a good trade. I would do it again. Sorry, Bjork. Like, Taylor Hall's better than you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. And, like, he shouldn't have played in that Notre Dame game. I don't care what anybody says. He wasn't good enough.
Sorry. Yeah, but, I mean, I get why.
He's a very good young hockey player. It just depth chart-wise, he didn't fit on this hockey club anymore. Yeah. They gave him every opportunity in the world. He got to play on the top line in the NHL, and he couldn't. And it is what it is. But I also think his injury that he suffered.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say a big old asterisk with the injuries.
Think,
it was never.
I think that a couple was it of three years ago when he hurt his shoulder. Was it 3 years ago?
Well, then he re-injured it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the very first time he did it, I remember seeing him in the hollowed basement of the garden, walking out of the dressing room, and he had a sling over his arm, holding a salad. Such a memory of watching him walk by, and I just looked, and I was like, to everybody, it was like upper body injury. I'm like, ooh, that is not an upper body injury. That's a you ain't playing anytime, kid.
Yeah.
And I just think it might have just killed his confidence, because when you think about it, he had so much, you know, baby, like he had so much praise and so much everybody thought he was going to be this guy. And then the depth chart just killed him.
Mm-hmm. I think he had a raw deal with kind of the whole DeBrusque thing where, you know, Jake had that one good season.
Yep. But that's what happens, man.
Yeah. And I always thought Bjork was, you know, the better player, at least defensively, had
100% that
much
way. Better,
much better, more responsible defensively. And, you know, that's a guy you can kind of put in the lineup and give him room to grow, because he's not going to hurt you while he's there.
Yeah, I know. But they also had a guy like that in Danton Heinen, who I still love and wish he'd never left the Bruins. And it's that's what you look at this team and you look at that depth chart, right? So, okay, so he wasn't at the time. He's not going to fit in at center. And then on the wing, where's he going to fit? They already tried to put him on the right side with Bergeron and Marchand. And he played maybe one good game out of five. And that could also be like, hey, oh my God, I'm playing with these guys. But also in that fifth game is when he got hurt. I truly feel his career in Boston was ruined in that second season when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And it was over, because unfortunately with the Boston Bruins is they move on real quick.
I hope for Lauren's sake that she's not listening. I imagine her just like crying and reaching, buying out all the tissues.
She'll be right okay. Now, I hope for his sake that he gets the heck out of Buffalo real soon.
Yeah.
And goes to a team like, you know, where he would flourish. Somebody get him in the Calgary Flames, please. Yeah, get him on the Edmonton Oilers. Get him on one of those teams where he can get more space and play that wide open hockey, because he plays a very good wide open game. Mm-hmm. And then he can show his defensive prowess, right?
Put him on McDavid's line.
Well, yeah. Isn't that Draisaitl and Hyman? I think that line's set now.
Yeah.
Be good. Good friend Sean Rajote, good friend of the pod, asked, GM connected on Chill, yay or nay? Corey, I'm going to toss this one to you first. You a GM connected guy or no?
No, honestly, I've been playing a ton of Hut Rush and Hut for the first time ever this year. I also I got McDavid in my X Factor pack, which is like huge. And then I got two base cards and two gold packs. So supposedly I've got a horseshoe up my butt. But no, I played a bit of the GM connected. I'm doing Be a Pro and doing Chell. Hut.
Nice. I have never gotten into Hut. I've always been an ESHL guy. Me and some buddies play, and I've always loved that. I love playing goalie too. I hate that it's kind of broken, because it's EA, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Always been a fan of that. How do you feel? You're an NHL 22 guy, I assume, with you're a gamer. On the new one, yeah.
Yeah, I have to say code provided by Xbox, but yes, I do have the game. I'm actually enjoying it. I thought the last 4 years of that game were complete trash. Okay. And no one should spend money on it. I still, at this point with these games, considering the same thing over and over and over and over again, no offense, Waba, I love you, buddy, but they should just be charging, like, make it free to play and make us charge for the rosters, because they ain't giving us anything different. The game just looks beautiful. It's on a different engine this year. So it looks great. It's on, I play it on my Xbox Series X. It looks beautiful.
It does.
The ray tracing and all the bells and whistles. That's probably why I'm liking it, because it just looks the best I've ever seen a hockey game. But the gameplay itself is, it's a little bit yikes sometimes.
Yeah.
The little poke check every 2 seconds. You don't see that in the NHL. You try and poke check that much, you're going to get your head taken off.
Yeah. No, yeah. I want a good NHL game so bad. I love playing NHL games, but I like, especially with ESHL, I always feel like the AI is especially terrible, and that's the game one I play the most. And then I'm a big be a pro guy in any sports game, but I've always told myself, like, you know what, fuck, I'm not gonna buy it this year. I'm finally sick of this shit, and this is the first year finally that I haven't bought it yet. So we'll see how long I'm probably end up getting it on sale or something like that.
But I think if it's $40 here right now for Black Friday, it's what, $25 in the US right now. I'd go snag it. Like, I wasn't going to buy it. I got lucky enough, got sent a code to review and I actually liked it. I probably would have bought it if I would have known. You know, if you had an Xbox, Cam, get an Xbox and you get the 10 hours for free. Go play it and see if you like it. If you don't like
it. That's true, yeah. Whatever. I have my old Xbox One still.
There you go. It's on Game Pass. Go in there.
I have PC Game Pass, though, but yeah.
Exactly. Game Pass is, whether it's on a console, it's on a PC, it don't make a difference. But if you have your Xbox One, plug in your Xbox One, sign in your Xbox account, boom, you have Game Pass on your Xbox One. You could play right now on your Xbox One, Cam. You could play Xbox Series X games on your Xbox One in the cloud.
I did not know that. That's good to know. I will say, I had a tragic issue. I've had the same Xbox Live account for since I signed up with my AIM email, in case that tells anything. And when I switched over to my PC, I was loading my accounts on, and some of them kind of auto-transferred. But I just finally had to make a new one because I couldn't. I don't know what the fuck my password is to the account that I made, however long, 10 to 12 years ago. And I tried to log in, and it was like, oh, you gotta deal with security questions and stuff. But some of the questions are like, hey, what are the subject lines of the last emails that you sent? And I'm like, well, it's this AIM email that literally they deactivated. It doesn't exist anymore. So I couldn't log in, and I just there was no way to get the account. So I finally just had to make a new one and say fuck it. And starting with a clean slate for the first time in a decade plus. But
I lost my whole gamer score on Xbox because it was attached to my Hotmail account, and that doesn't exist anymore. And I couldn't remember the password. And then my backup email was my email from my old job from 10 years ago. And I was like, no. Brutal. That so hurts, man.
I'm trying to see it as a new beginning for me. You know, I'm just accepting that. So,
but now I'm racking up gamer scores purposely and playing some pretty crappy games to get achievos. So
there you go. Yeah, do what you got to do.
Meanwhile, over here, I'm still rocking NHL 19.
There's nothing. You know
again, what? Chris? Might as well be 21.
My favorite console of all time is the Super Nintendo, and my favorite game is NHL 95, and I'll play it all day long. All day long.
I grew up on NHL 2002. I was not. I grew up on 2002 on the PC.
My favorite game is something that he wasn't alive for.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I was -3 or 2 and change at the time, I guess. But
I think my first NHL game was '99.
That's a good one too. Is that that was the Yzerman on the cover? Or oh no no no, '99 I think is Peter Forsberg.
Oh, I'd have to look that up.
Or Eric Lindros is 2000.
2002 was I think Mario, I believe.
NHL 99.
Great soundtrack for 2002 as well.
Yeah, it was Eric Lindros. I got something right. Look at me. Brain still works sometimes.
Got Mario on 02. Let's go. Last question from my girlfriend, Lauren. How does Court Lalonde know the Bruins and Bruins guys? So she asked me this today when we were going to grab some dinner, and she was like, how do you know Court? And I was like, and I was like, shit, Twitter stuff. I think Drew technically knew you first. I don't even know at this point. I feel like I've known you for a while, and I really couldn't tell you like how we connected to begin with through Drew, I think, just writing
stuff. 100% through Drew. I think we all made fun of each other. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was 100% Drew, because I've known Drew for years now. I've had many of in-person alcohol.
We're going to circle back to that in a second. That's my final question. So
my meeting with Drew, but I'm going to have to 100% say firing Cam would have been like, before I even knew you, I was calling for your firing.
That really meant a lot. So thank you.
But yeah, no, 100% through Drew. But it definitely Bruins Twitter, which is funny. I got a DM a couple of weeks ago from somebody that was like, "Hey, I don't follow you for your video game takes." And I'm like, "I don't get paid for you to follow me, so you can just fuck off." I literally put, "You can fuck off." And I'm like, "Dude, I don't care. Like, who, are you kidding me? Did you really just spend your time to DM me that,
buddy?
Because I put out a tweet about Halo and it wasn't, you know." I think about it now. I should have just responded. Like, do you want me to just go through your tweets and insult you for your hockey takes? Is that what you want me to do? Is that what you want me to do? Is that what you're missing? Because I don't miss doing that. That's one thing. I'll say this right now. I don't miss having to deal with, no matter what you say on Bruins Twitter, being misconstrued or made like you are an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I don't miss it. Like, I don't get it. I love, I'll still talk hockey with you guys, and I still talk it with Colin, but I don't miss any of it. I actually just feel so much better. And also, when there's a Western road trip, I can just go to bed.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this podcast, is that we're like, half the time we hop on here and we're like, all right, so Bruins had three games. Did anybody watch it? No. All right, somebody else, come on.
So we did that with me, Drew, and Colin, and I knew Colin didn't watch it because he was coaching soccer. And Drew's like, so did you guys catch the game last night? And I'm like, no. And Drew's like, neither did I. And Colin's like, I was coaching. I'm like, I know, none of us caught the game. Yeah, so this is amazing.
It's not good.
Watch the highlights.
All right, we're going to get Court out of here in just a sec, but like I said, I do want to wrap around to this. We've heard the story from Drew a couple times, I think, on the podcast as well. But Drew talks, I believe it was from last season that you two were down at the Garden together.
Two seasons ago.
Was it 2 years ago then? Drew got
ill last year.
Little too saucy. And he says you took on dad responsibilities for the night and took care of him. We've heard it from his side. I'm just curious what it was like from your side as other people who usually have to take care of Drew. Curious to see what it was like from your perspective when you were Drew's dad for the night.
Well, I'm trying to think, because oddly enough, I think Lauren was there at the very beginning of it. So anytime I'm in Boston, It's oddly enough, he was the very first one ever. The one time I was in Boston, when I first was on Burns Twitter, and I put, "I'm in Boston going to the game." He was like, "I'm at the Fours." And I'm like, "I'm at the Fours." And like, we were like literally sitting across from each other at the bars, and he was with his dad, and we drank before the game. But this one, I said I was in Boston, and he always goes out of his way, God bless him, to meet up with me no matter what. He knows I'm there a certain time. He'll make sure that he's there. He's got tickets for the game when I go this year as well. He was sitting at the bar, and he did not have tickets to said game.
Yeah.
So we went to the game while Drew drank the whole time. So then after the game, I get to the bar, and he is just sitting there, and you could just see him like just disheveled. He's like, "No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good." And we drank. I think we were with Sean Ferris, Colin, and my wife. Definitely my wife was there. I gotta remember sometimes. And we drank a lot, and he wasn't as bad as he makes it out to be, but he was really drunk, and I just made sure he got home, you know.
There you go. That's good.
You just gotta make sure the guy's taken care of. But like, I'll give it to Drew, he's a good drunk.
That's good. Like, that's big, especially for this spot. Yeah,
like we all drink here, and sometimes I can be a bad drunk. Like, I don't drink rye anymore, which is whiskey, but it's Canadian whiskey. I don't drink that anymore because I'm not a good person on that. But I'll give it to Drew. He's never a dick when he's drunk. Like, I've been around him a lot when he's drunk, and I've never been like, "Oh, he's the obnoxious drunk guy." He's never that guy.
And he's goofy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's actually fun to be around because he's just smiling, and he's just like,
He's a lovey-dovey drunk. Like, yeah.
He does this a lot. He does whenever he gets really he drunk. He puts his hand on his face. It's like he wants to feel it or something, and he's just got this look of like staring off into space. So sometimes when I see like his stuff on Instagram or Facebook, I'm always laughing. I'm like, he's definitely high or drunk in that
moment. Lethargic puppy dog is how I would describe Drew as a drunk.
Yeah, that is a very good. Yeah. Wow, that's a good description. And you can't get mad at a lethargic puppy dog, right?
Yeah.
You can't. Like, absolutely. Cam, I can picture you being too hyper and then passing out. I picture
I'm similar to Drew. I not quite as lethargic, but I'm like big time. I'm the classic. Like, I get drunk and I just tell everybody how much I love them. I just want to like.
You're that guy. You're the close talker.
I'll get hammered with you sometime, and I'll just sit here and talk about how much you mean to me and how great this podcast has been. And it's a good one. Like, if you ever need a good confidence boost, just load me up a little bit, and you're gonna be the most important person.
Cam, you matter. Don't worry, you're a good person. Buddy. Now, yeah. Chris. Do you get philosophical when you're drunk?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize. I didn't realize until I saw that in a tweet. And then I DM'd Drew. And I was like, is this real? He was like, yes. I'm like, oh my God, he's an actual fucking rocket scientist. it blew my mind. So do you get philosophical? Do you get all like extreme, pull your nerd side out? Because you don't show your nerd side, but you're like, you know, Mark Roper smart.
Look
at me dropping a Mark Roper thing. Now. Beers and Bruins.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck that is. So
Chris definitely knows. Chris
knows. I don't know who that is.
Really? Oh, you got to. He works for NASA. Oh,
okay.
He does YouTube stuff. He's wicked. He's wicked smart.
Yeah. So I'm an airplane engineer, so not an actual rocket scientist. But
you're wicked smart.
We're splitting hairs there.
I know, isn't he? Like, well, he's like, you know what? I'm an AHL player, not an NHL player.
It's still pro hockey. I would say probably more so in college when I would get drunk, I would get real philosophical. Loved getting really deep into like time travel discussions and like parallel dimensions and shit.
Yeah.
The like string theory is always fun.
Ooh. I got to get drunk with Chris one day.
Theoretical physics is...
this side right over there. It's hard to that one yeah, right there one,
yeah.
I have vested interest in time travel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I big fan. I would say I'm also on the side of Cam too, where like it depends on the vibes. Like I'm not gonna ruin a party by like pulling everyone aside and being like, hey, let's discuss nerd shit over here. But if the vibes are like people are talking nerd shit, I'm very willing to get into it. There was a period of time where people were like really into like aliens and shit, and a lot of people were watching like all those alien shows, and there were some things about like that they touched on that I always thought were interesting, like some conspiracy theories about like the pyramids in Egypt. And it's not like I didn't think that aliens did it, but there are some cool fun facts about the Egyptian pyramids that make them really cool.
Marvel. Engineering. Yeah. Beats. Like they're a Marvel. Like it's crazy, and man.
So while people were talking about the like alien stuff, I was like, wait, so here's the thing about the pyramids. Did you know that like if you measure each one of them on each side, they're like off by like a centimeter? No,
it's crazy. The pyramids are just, like,
if you throw human suffering at something for decades, you can really do some.
Still, man, it's crazy, those pyramids. But I'm of the, aliens are real. Let's be honest here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I laughed. Someone, my cousin was put up a little thing. He put up a pyramid today on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it. And I commented to him, and he was like, there's like these different levels. And he was like, these are the crazy levels. And I'm like, so I'm definitely blue. And he just started laughing. I'm like, well, it says the aliens. I'm like, aliens are real. Like, if we think we're the only people in this world,
yeah,
you got another thing coming. Look at us. Look at us. Who thought we would get here? Look at us. We got to aliens. We got to talking about some fun stuff. I'll talk about conspiracy theories all day long. Like,
I would love to know.
I guess the like last thing I'll say on my like the perfect intersection of the things that I'm interested in is basically the movie Arrival, where one of the main characters is a theoretical physicist and the other is like the world's best linguist, and linguistics is something I'm also really interested in. So like, I don't know, specifically the English language and like origins of different accents and different ways of saying things, and picking apart how movies represent them poorly.
Okay, so I ask you this: the Boston accent, is it? So when you look at New England was, you know, it's one of the first there is. So like a lot of Canada, if you look in that area, like where we are, like where I am, sorry. You have New England, the accents kind of like mel, but when it gets to Boston, all of a sudden it just becomes this thing. So where does that accent come from?
So I think a lot of people have the, have a feeling like it comes from Irish immigrants, but that
makes
accent,
no sense to me though.
Yeah. That accent, it couldn't be further away from, from an Irish English accent.
Cause it's almost got the Canada A thing going on, but then it goes a little bit further.
So when you separate out like what, how most English people speak, with, you know, dropping that R, and how, you know, people in Boston speak also, it's very different from how people in Ireland speak, pronouncing that R pretty heavily. And so a lot of it comes from a kind of desire to separate the colonies, to separate themselves from what, how people in England talked. And the like really cool thing for me is that the way that most people in the Northeast speak is closer to how people in England spoke before the Revolutionary War,
which makes perfect sense considering where we all come from, like where I am in Canada. We did an ancestry. I did on both sides. I even did my family that's in Boston and my family that's in, in Montreal, in Ottawa area. And we all came from England or France eventually. Like my grandmother, who's from Newfoundland, God rest her soul, she was from Ireland, but that just makes sense. Cause if you look, it's pretty easy to figure out where you're from. Just go across the water the other way.
Yeah.
And that's where your ancestors are from 9 times out of 10. Much, right.
Yeah.
So it's funny when I've heard the same thing about the Boston accent. So I wanted to ask you, since you've probably researched it a little bit, I was like, how can it, there's no way it's Irish. Like, yes, there's a ton of Irish immigrants, but it makes no sense.
That accent came, I think, before a lot of settlers from Ireland, but it's definitely evolved over the years into something wild, but.
Yeah, well, no, Buffalo has one too. Like, as someone that's in Canada, and I say that I don't have an accent, but like when I first moved here, I was 5, and I had the most wicked Boston accent for a 5-year-old living in Canada that you ever did see. So I think they're all, I think Northeastern, like Ontario, Quebec, if you really get down to it, we could all hold a conversation pretty easy and no one would, half the time wouldn't even know there was an accent.
As long as you're speaking English.
Unless you're looking for it.
So I didn't know there was a Buffalo accent until I lived. So my roommate is from Niagara Falls.
Okay.
And I just thought she spoke weird. No, her friends came out to visit. Like the first time her friends came out to visit, I was like, oh, you all talk like this.
Yes. Yes.
It's the like pronouncing like pal and pale the same way. They just say pal to say pale. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. I've gotten used to it over the years, but
try living where I live out here. It's hilarious because I don't remember. I don't think I say a or a boot. I don't say a boot, but like I doing Assemble XP the other day, we did this joke video and we put it out on Twitter where we were like, oh, we're gonna go get a Timmy's and like you're gonna get a double double. But like if you think about it, like Minnesota has like such a Canadian accent.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, so similar. Yeah.
Don't you know? Like that's pretty much the typical Canadian accent. But when I think about Boston or any northeastern state, I'm like, we're all just a stone's throw away. We're all just one accent is just changing, and it's all pretty much the same accent. If you really got into the, I'm I'd be very curious if they did a recording of all of us talking and they could actually take the syllables and like the wavelengths, take the wavelengths into like an audio. Mm-hmm. I bet you it's almost the same. Like it's the same.
Yeah. That's interesting, Cord. I was talking to my girlfriend earlier and she's from Pittsburgh. So talk about a fucking accent that they got down there. Tool. Can't tell. They can't say she's an anchor too. So this is always great. An anchor in Maine from Pittsburgh, like a news anchor. So she tries to say they like toll booth and it's tool booth every time. But I was talking to her and I was like, yeah, I love podding with Cord because he's got just the slightest Canadian accent. It's not like the most people probably wouldn't notice it, but it's just like the little bit of, and I have Canadians in my family on both sides too, so I pick up on those things a little bit more, I think, than a lot of people. But I always enjoy it a little bit extra.
I was born in the South and then moved to Boston. Mm-hmm. And then moved to Quebec.
Talk about
and
it.
Then moved to Ontario, Canada. So
going in the right direction.
My accent, because your accent and your language is from your first, what, I think it's 6 years of your life or 6 or 7.
Yeah,
that's where you pick everything like up. But you can, so it's weird because if I go to the South, I went to Florida for 3 weeks at one point, and there's certain areas of Florida where there is an accent. Mm-hmm. And I'll pick up an accent without thinking.
Yeah.
And say it. And Boston is a terrible one for me.
Yeah.
If I'm in Boston for more than 4 days.
Yeah.
I'm talking terrible. It's so bad. It sucks. It's embarrassing almost.
My wife hates it. Really interesting for me is I have a friend who's her family's English, but she grew up in upstate New York. Junior year of high school, she moved back out there, still lives out in England. She's kind of in more Eastern Europe now, but lived there for a while. And regular communication with her all the time. And over the years, just watching the little bit of kind of English, not just the accent, but just the words and just the slightly different, you know, British English versus American English, and watching that kind of pile into her language. And then nowadays she say some things and I was just like, holy fuck, like that was the most British shit I've ever heard. And she's like, wait, really? You guys don't say that over there? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. But it's been interesting to see kind of that progression. Like you were saying, like she still has the base American accent. I think most people over there are like, oh, you totally sound like an American. But there's just like, it's sort of the same. I always joke that like she's kind of a castaway for both of them because neither one of us accept her anymore.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard Anya Taylor-Joy talk? Because she's so she was born in Miami, but she was raised in Brazil and London. So she has like this very weird mix of accents.
I'm fascinated by accents.
Yeah.
Or the people that can even change them. Like how can you just change?
And you just talked about how you do it, Court.
Yes, but no, but that is my lizard brain. that's my lizard brain remembering because when I first moved here, my parents said like I would say Pac. Like it would just that's how, hey, you guys want to go to the park? And like people around me, like my mom would be like standing there and just looking around like, did anybody else hear that? and eventually it went away. But when I'm back in Boston after a couple days or like I remember one time drinking with Drew at the bar. And then by the end of the night, I'm talking with a wicked Boston accent the whole time. I'm saying Green Monster. Like I'm just totally a Boston accent out of nowhere. And I believe he was like laughing at me one time. He's like, well, I'm like, I don't know, man. It just happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But to your point, Court, I feel like there are a lot of affectations for not necessarily the Boston accent that everyone thinks of as the Boston accent, but people who live in the Boston area who just kind of have a few little affectations that I think are also kind of Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people who say like hot as like hut.
Uh-huh. Connor Ryan
like roof and say like rough instead of roof.
Yeah. Or you're talking fucking Maine here.
Connor Ryan has a huge Boston accent.
The strongest I've ever heard. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you got a guy like Nick Godin who sounds like he's from Canada.
Yeah. Well, he's a Mainer now too, but yeah, really Maine is the intersection there. You get the classic kind of Boston but then you get it's a more of an and you get the in between there, like a beer or a banger. Like it's kind of an in between.
Nothing is more ridiculous than the Rhode Island accent.
Yeah,
that one's wild.
Come on, those are great movies.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, let's wrap it up here.
We talked about maybe 5 minutes of hockey.
That's what the people want a distraction from what happened against Calgary. So yeah.
I can genuinely say, even with that, this has been one of the most fun episodes we've had in a while. So
I've had a great time. I wanted to pick Chris's brain, and I did. I had him thinking,
and that's he got a very dangerous thing to get me thinking.
It's not a dangerous thing. Getting us actually thinking and talking about a different conversation than what we were thinking about actually is good brain food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Chris, you started. You want to wrap us here?
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. This has been your regularly scheduled Friday content.
Yeah.
You got it. Court, thanks for coming on, man. This has been
I appreciate you guys having me, and it was fun. Yeah. I appreciate not really talking hockey.
We'll be back on soon for sure. And if you're a gamer, go check out Three Dads and a Console.
And Assemble XP if you like Xbox. We have a YouTube channel. We are very, very close to 1,000 subscribers. So
I'm going to go toss you one right now.
I'm seriously, in just 41 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Monetization at 1,000 boys.
Let's go.
Always a pleasure, boys. Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Mm-hmm.